A lot of the methods have not changed. The dental tools that I have are exactly the same as the dental tools that are in your doctor's office today. We've added some to them, but they haven't really taken any away. Dentistry was the most evolved of the medical practices. They invented the right tool about 400 years ago, and it still works. From the elevator that they use to extract a tooth to the probes, they look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Scalpels look exactly the same. I think what I've learned is how quickly we've forgotten to get through our surgeries without anesthesia. Mm-hmm. Because anesthesia was only invented a very short time ago. And as soon as we had it, most of the world completely forgot about what it was like to be an active participant in your surgery. Mm-hmm. Childbirth is the only time in mm-hmm. Western society that people still are an active participant mm-hmm. with minimal pain control in many times. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed that people have no concept of how new antibiotics are. We've really only had penicillin in common use in the 1920s, 1930s. And people just can't even imagine that you just wouldn't take an antibiotic for every little thing. But mm-hmm. there was no such thing prior to that. Mm-hmm. Bleeding was a very common practice, and it wasn't a useless skill. We didn't do it for 2,000 years because it didn't work. It worked. Bleeding's absolute useful medicine. Reduces inflammation, lowers your blood pressure, jumpstarts your immune system. The theory is when you lose a quantity of blood in a short period of time, your body makes new blood, mm-hmm. and that will make you healthier. Mm-hmm. In the 18th century, we were still referring to the ancient Greeks and Romans and still using their theories. Medicine took big leaps in the 20th century. I know more things about sanitation in Philadelphia in the 18th century than any human being ought to know without writing a book about it. Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of things about early sanitation that nobody else knows. Because I found a repository of good stuff. In the Philadelphia archives, there are a lot of primary sources that have not been well mined. And I read them a few years ago, and I talk about them, but I've just never had the time. That's what I'm going to do when I retire. I've got another 4 or 5 years. And when I'm talking to kids, I really try to make it personal. I try to give it to them in ways that they understand. Elizabeth Drinker was a Quaker woman and left a fabulous diary of day-to-day life. And mm-hmm. I use a number of her stories. But my favorite is she tells a story about the time her 5-year-old daughter was being... I'm going to tell you this story exactly the way I say it when I'm talking to kids. Elizabeth Drinker was a Quaker lady in the city of Philadelphia who left a wonderful diary of day-to-day life. And we know a whole lot of things about what went on in her home just from reading her words. And she tells the story of the time her 5-year-old daughter was ill and was being bled, just the way I described to you. People could be bled, but she wasn't going to be bled the way an adult was by having her vein opened up. She was going to have a little cut made on her hand, her leg, or her stomach, and a series of leeches were going to be applied there. We talked about what leeches are. So she tells in her diary, she played with her leech all the day. Have you ever had a gummy worm and you squeeze it down? And then you pop it back up again. Well, that's what Miss Drinker was doing with her leech. And she was probably enjoying it a whole lot more than her leech was. Mm-hmm. But because of this story, we know that little girls weren't afraid of being bled. And they made friends with their leeches and made little pets out of them for that day. So that doesn't sound so scary, does it? No.